You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter.
I certainly think that we are at war with those who would commit terrorist attacks and who would corrupt the Islamic faith in the way that they do.
We have this idea of what it's like to live out the American dream, and maybe that's not God's dream for humanity.
Without what Jesus did at the cross, you cease to have Christianity. And if we cease to have Christianity, we are lost and damned in our sin.
Luther said, if the Lord had said, I will put forgiveness into this grass or even this dung, I would gladly go eat it. But he hasn't. He has said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood.
While snow blowing our driveways, hardy Minnesotans love to listen to Issues Etc.
We often talk about this threefold office of Christ, that he has roles that he plays, but more than just roles he's playing. They are offices that he not just fills, but fulfills. There's a difference between filling an office, anyone can do that, and fulfilling an office, rendering that office complete, and that all other permutations of that office that have come before are not unimportant, but perhaps in some sense, since they've now been fulfilled, obsolete. This idea comes to us very strongly in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. So we're going to talk a little bit here in the first half hour or so of Issues Etc. about that threefold office of Christ. The one that's presented in the book of Hebrews is commonly understood as prophet, priest, and king. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Matt Richard will be our guest for the first half hour or so. We're going to spend a little time going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, responding to as much of it as we possibly can a little bit later. Then we'll round off today's program talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute about the upcoming encyclical on the environment. A date hasn't even been set for its publication or its promulgation, but Pope Francis is known for saying things that catch everyone's attention and saying things that at least the Western press tends to classify outside the mainstream of traditional Catholic teaching. So everyone's anticipating what he might say when he talks about the environment. Jennifer Roback Morris says, probably what's more important to know is what he isn't going to say in that encyclical. We'll talk about that in the last 15 minutes of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions and your comments. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. Our beloved on-demand listeners, that Issues Etc. comment line is just for you. 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Use it anytime, day or night. Joining us to talk about the threefold office of Christ, prophet, priest, and king, Pastor Matt Richard, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota, and author of an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled Jesus Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's good to be here.
An important point that you make in your article, and I want to know why you emphasize it as you do, that when we say that Jesus has come to both fill and fulfill these Old Testament offices of prophet, priest, and king, we are not saying that the old prophets, the old priests, the old kings, or their offices didn't matter. Why is that so important?
Well, that's a really good question. There's a couple of reasons for that. And the first, I guess you would say the first reason is because these individuals were real individuals in the Old Testament, real prophets, real priests, and real kings that were a part of the history, you know, what we would say salvation history leading up to Jesus Christ himself. And so on the one hand, we cannot overemphasize them, and on the other hand, if we emphasize Christ as fulfilling it, we're not diminishing or taking away from them, because it all links together. The Old Testament and the New Testament have one author, and that is the Lord speaking through the Old Testament prophets, working through the Old Testament priests and kings, and the whole Old Testament, it funnels us all down to Christ, and so there's this one grand narrative that runs throughout the whole Old Testament and New Testament. And so as we look to these prophets and we say, you know, look at this magnificent word they were proclaiming, well, we see that word funneling towards Jesus. When we look at these priests sacrificing for the people of Israel, it leads to Christ. And so when we exalt Christ and we look at Christ and what he fulfilled, we can't ignore the history that God enacted before Christ. And on the same side, I guess you would say on the other side of the token, when we emphasize the prophets, priests, and kings of the Old Testament, it paints a picture or a shadow of what is to come in Jesus.
So what do we mean by that term office? How would you explain that? Because it's a term that we nowadays, at least in our context, will apply it to politicians, like the office of the president. And what we mean is kind of, I don't know, this political entity that we recognize according to our Constitution. What do we mean when we talk about offices like prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament?
I think a good way to emphasize that would be roles, different roles in the Old Testament, different callings, vocations maybe would be a good way of describing it. And so when we look at prophets, they were called to give a message to the people. They came to speak into the context. They came to speak law and gospel. And also at the same time, they came to speak as prophets about what was to come. And the same thing with the priests. They came and they did sacrifices on behalf of the people, for the people. And so there are distinctions in between the different offices. You would say that the prophet was restricted to proclaiming a message, where the priest was his jurisdiction, I guess you would say, or his realm was in the area of the sacrifices. And then the kings would rule over the armies, and the kings would rule over the people. And so we see these three different roles, and oftentimes when you see those roles, when they were blended or blurred, oftentimes in the Scripture you would see that the Lord would not look with favor upon that, and sometimes chaos would break out. So we have these specific roles or offices, duties and tasks that were to be done on behalf of the Lord towards the people, and we see that very much in the same thing today in the different offices and roles, not only in the church, but also in society as well.
Are we saying that the Old Testament offices of prophet, priest, and king are divinely instituted offices?
Yeah, I would say that divinely instituted. You see the Lord really calling these individuals. You know, he called Moses to be a prophet to the people of Israel in bondage to slavery. He called all the prophets of the Old Testament, do we think of the major prophets and the minor prophets, to come and to give a message, not their own message, but to speak on behalf of the Lord for the people. And so, yeah, absolutely. And you look at the Levites and the priests that were instituted by God, we see that in Leviticus as well. These are offices ordained and established by God for the sake of delivering the goods or delivering a message or forgiveness of sin and ruling the people of the Old Testament. And ultimately, the point of the article in the Modern Reformation magazine is seeing how these three offices, how they all culminate and funnel down to Jesus Christ.
When we talk about Jesus coming to fulfill these offices, I want to get into more detail in a few minutes here, but what do we mean by that term, fulfill?
Yeah, one thing we have to keep in mind is going through the Old Testament, we have this beautiful salvation history. You know, we got to keep in mind that in the opening chapters of Genesis, we see the promised seed of the Messiah who is to come, and we see this red thread, as the old theologians would say, weaving in and out of the scriptures of the Old Testament, bringing us towards Jesus. And then we see around this thread, we see these offices, like we've been mentioning, pop up of the prophet and the priest and the king. And when we look at these prophets, they are definitely real people in real time and space and history. The priests were real people doing real functions, delivering through these sacrifices, the means of grace to the people. So they were doing real things that were really important. But when we look at these, they were a shadow, I guess you would say, a shadow, or I know the old church fathers would use an example of a canvas where it was kind of sketched out. And so as you look at the canvas, you would see the faint pictures on that canvas. But it wasn't entirely complete. It wasn't entirely done perfectly. And so oftentimes the prophets they would speak a message, but that message was not about themselves. It was about the one to come. The priests would sacrifice offerings for the people and for themselves as well. As we look to Jesus, we see something completely and profoundly different. We see Jesus not giving a message beyond himself. We see Jesus giving a message about himself. And then especially with the priests, we do not see Jesus making a sacrifice for himself or for the people. He sacrifices himself for everyone else as the sacrifice for the people. So there's a much more of a, a fuller picture where instead of Jesus pointing away from himself, Jesus is pointing to himself as the one fulfilling what the Old Testament prophet, priests, and kings pointed forward to.
You spoke a moment ago about the blurring of these offices in the Old Testament, how they, sometimes by historical circumstance, but sometimes because of just the rebellion of the people. And I'm thinking here, and perhaps it's an example of again and again and again in the Old Testament, the kings who were divinely appointed to that office would nonetheless disobey God and lead the people away from the true worship of God. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that would be an example of not fulfilling the office that they were called to. So that would be their call to the office of king, and then because of the sin-filled world and because of their sinfulness, leading people away from what they were divinely instituted to be and to do. But I'm thinking, as far as blending of the office, I think of Samuel in 1 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 13. He was rejected as a king when he was disobedient and he presumed to do God's work, I guess you would say, as a priest in offering the sacrifices. And we see a real negative reaction in 1 Samuel chapter 13. So I think it's clearly, we see that when the offices are distinguished from each other and when the people walk within that specific role in that office and execute their roles in those offices, we generally see good things happen, as far as the repentance of the people, the delivery of the sacrifices to the people, and so forth. But when those roles are blurred or when they step out of those roles because of sin, then generally speaking, we see consequences arising.
So are you saying that all of these offices, while they did actually serve a real function among God's people of the Old Testament, to bring forgiveness, to lead the people in the ways of righteousness, to speak the word of God. They really did carry out all those functions. They were penultimate to what was to come in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the one thing we have to keep in mind, I know when I was a youth growing up, I often thought to myself and was taught, unfortunately, I was taught that the Old Testament, God worked by means of dispensing law, and it was only through the gospel of the New Testament that God dispensed and worked through grace. And so I was kind of raised in this dispensationalism where Old Testament is law, New Testament is gospel, and so as a result, there was a real dichotomy, a big break between the Old and New Testament. And so what that did is that created the Old Testament as just a bunch of stories that were to be told to me to make me more moral. And then as time went on, I saw the beautiful connection between the two testaments of the Old Testament and the New Testament, how they work together, how we see the shadows of Jesus cast back into the Old Testament. But then, consequently, we can also make the error that we make these individuals in the Old Testament basically just kind of, just kind of irrelevant, foggy pictures of the great reality to come, and we can actually diminish them that way too. So the best way to look at this is to say that the individuals and see the individuals of the Old Testament were real people in real time and real space, and as they executed their offices, they were actually a shadow or giving echoes of what is to come in the future. And so they're laying down patterns or what we would call typology of what is to come in Christ. And so when we clearly demonstrate and speak of and read about the Old Testament people, we are seeing the patterns and we're seeing also them executing these offices which really culminate and are really done to perfection in Jesus Christ some several hundred years later in the 100 years later in the New Testament.
Pastor Matt Richard is our guest. We're talking about the threefold office of Christ. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota, and author of an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled Jesus Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King. More with him on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in southeast Michigan in Rochester Hills. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. That's LCIW.org. We gather for the divine service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at lciw.org.
O morning star, of morning star, shine with God's light across the world.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Stanza 2 of the Easter hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, makes mention there at the very end of this threefold office of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Pastor Matt Richard is our guest. We're talking about Christ's fulfillment of those Old Testament offices. And Matt, the actual occasion for that hymn really raises the question I was going to ask you next, and that is the severe limitation put upon the Old Testament prophets, priests, and kings, as the book of Hebrews notes, especially with regard to the priesthood, is that they died. They were mortal. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, when you look at the, oh man, I just love the book of Hebrews, how this fleshes it out. And when we look at the different priests, we keep in mind that the priests themselves, you know, were indeed mortal people, and they were offering up sacrifices over and over and over. And then all of a sudden we see Christ show up, and Christ does not offer up a sacrifice. He offers up himself. And what is so amazing about this sacrifice of Jesus is that he offers himself up, and 3 days later he rises from the grave, which is just icing on the cake for us when we think about it from that perspective. And so Christ, you know, we look at the blood of Christ. What is the difference between the blood of the Christ and the blood of a lamb? Well, it's not that there was more or less blood shed. It was the very fact that it is the Son of God, his blood, that was shed for sinful mankind. And so it's not the quantity, but it's the quality of the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And so when we look to Christ, we see this full picture of the ultimate sacrifice that flows out of the Old Testament sacrificial system. We see that truly in Christ that we are covered by His shed blood, and we think back to the Old Testament that death will indeed pass over us because we have been clothed in the blood of the Lamb. So it's just truly remarkable to see this all funnel down into the quintessential, I love that word, the quintessential prophet, priest, and king for us.
So should we understand it this way? I mean, typically we understand it, and it's natural to do so, to say, well, these things were kind of the incomplete shadows toward which we're working. They're all driving forward toward completeness and fulfillment in Christ. But can we also look at it kind of upside down from that? And that is Christ, and this is also reflected in the book of Hebrews, Christ is the substance of those things of which the earlier manifestations in the Old Testament were, at least in some sense, the shadow of the substance.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've often taught it to my confirmation students and Sunday school classes as well, that if you take the cross and you take the events of the New Testament and you actually hold a flashlight, if you could actually take a flashlight and shine it on those events, and what you do is anytime you take a flashlight and shine it on something, it'll cast a shadow backwards. So if we can think of it from that perspective, I think that's very, very helpful, that the events of the New Testament, there's a light shining on them, and that shadow is cast into the Old Testament. And so we see in the Old Testament these shadows that are really real people, real events, like I've mentioned, that are occurring for real salvation for the people. But the actual substance, like you said, is going to be in Jesus Christ in 32 AD and what happened for us there. And so the Old Testament individuals, they looked forward to Christ. They looked forward to the completion of what Jesus did. And, you know, for us today, we receive presently in the Word and Sacraments what He accomplished, the benefits of what He accomplished back in 32 AD as well. And so everything is distributed from the cross into the Old Testament and into the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, we specifically see those shadows, as you have mentioned there, Todd.
So let's walk through them one at a time, if we can provide maybe even just specific examples from Jesus' life and ministry, wherein we see Him fulfilling each one of these offices of the Old Testament, beginning with the prophet. Where do we see Jesus in particular instances showing that He is the fulfillment of all of the prophets?
I think immediately we think of John chapter 1, the Word becomes flesh. This very Word of God becomes flesh, and we look at Jesus as the Word. And as we look at Christ, He is continually a teacher, proclaiming messages and teaching to people on hillsides all over the area of Galilee and south of there. And as He preaches and teaches, He continually points to Himself. And I think of some of the great I Am statements, I Am. And that definitely, when He says I Am, He's pulling from the Old Testament great I Am. And the messages funnel us to Him Himself. I'm thinking of, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, He's pointing towards Himself, baptism in His name. And so the whole message of everything that is accomplished is pointing back to Himself. So as the prophet, He is not pointing beyond Himself to another prophet to come. He is pointing people to Himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And so there would be an example of Him as a prophet speaking about Himself and what He will accomplish and do for the people.
Then where particular examples in the New Testament where we find Jesus fulfilling the priesthood? He doesn't actually, take on priestly garbs, or He doesn't go into the temple and try and make sacrifices. Where do we see it?
Yeah, I would say that right around Good Friday, we look back. This more specifically, you look back to the Passover celebration. They would choose the lamb on the 10th day of the month, and they would keep that lamb the 10th day of the month, and they would keep it till the 14th day, which was the month of Nisan. That was a month during the time of April and March. And on the 14th day, they would slaughter that lamb. Well, it's no surprise to us that all of a sudden we see Jesus coming in on Palm Sunday, right around the 10th of Nisan, and he stays in Jerusalem till the 14th. And he is the very Lamb of God who is sacrificed for the sins of the world, as John the Baptist says. And so we see Jesus executing the sacrifice for all humanity, where the sins of the world are cast upon him, and as he makes payment, substitutionary payment for everyone. So we see that direct fulfillment there. And then as far as like a dynasty, Jesus as our king, you know, we got to keep in mind that the kings of the Old Testament and the kings of the years past in history, they have typically limited dynasties over limited time and space. Whereas we look with Christ, we have a king who has a dynasty, that a kingdom that will last forever. And every knee, at the very end, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so we see a kingdom that exists forever and that rules over everything. And so we see it funneled that way as well.
Now, the two of those kind of go together, actually all of them kind of go together and culminate in the cross, but especially priest and king together at the cross, where he is being ironically, in the midst of his mockery, he's being ironically set forth as a king. So much of what his trials, the interrogation of his trials center around is the claim to be a king, which he never denies. He is, in fact, a king. He can't deny it. He's even crowned with thorns, a mocking crown, at his crucifixion. What are your thoughts there, Pastor Richard?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I mean, you think it all culminating. You know, the Gospel, Mark does this. It funnels us to the cross. We look at the narratives, in the Gospels. They're funneling us to the cross. And so everything boils down to what happened at this cross as, yeah, absolutely right, as the sacrifice for sins, and then he's lifted up on his throne, which is a bloody cross, which is totally a theology of the cross, and it is kind of counterintuitive for us to think of it that way, but it is indeed on this cross that salvation is accomplished for us as the bleeding, dying Savior suffers on our behalf. And then from that big throne, from that place as mighty king, he says the words that echo into eternity, "It is finished," and it is finished indeed, for all of us, because Jesus is truly our prophet, priest, and king.
So this isn't only about saying Jesus has come to completely fulfill these Old Testament roles in the course of his public ministry. But it is especially about saying he has come to fulfill these roles, prophet, priest, and king, in his sacrificial death and resurrection.
Yeah, absolutely. And he walks into these and fulfills these roles, and they culminate in him, and he does these things precisely for us. And so he is our king that rules over top of us, which is good news for us as purchased and bought sinners who are forgiven by him. The sacrifice of himself is what he has done for us, as well as being a prophet who speaks a message of comfort and grace to us, and it's ultimately all for us as his redeemed people. And so, Christ does this not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And we do see that ultimately fulfilled and funneled down towards what was accomplished that week, that holy week of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday.
Well, that comes back around to something you were saying before, that this is all of these Old Testament prophets, priests, kings, had to, in some sense, do what they were doing, called by God, for their own sakes. They did it for the people, but it was also for their own sake. They were as much in need of what they provided as prophet, priest, and king as the people were. But it's different with Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that is the biggest distinction. You know, you look at a priest of the Old Testament, they would sacrifice not only for the people, but for themselves. And they would have to go through a long list of ritual cleanings for themselves because they indeed were sinners themselves. And then the prophets, they spoke a message that was not their message. It was a message given to them, and it was a message that pointed away from themselves to the one coming, which was the Messiah. Whereas when we see Jesus, he does not make a sacrifice of sin for himself. He does not proclaim a message, for himself. It is always a message for us. And so in those prophet, priests, and kings of the Old Testament, they did it for the people and also for themselves as well as sinners. But yet with Jesus, it is 100% for us as gift, which is just truly remarkable and does distinguish between the Old Testament offices and individuals in the Old Testament offices and Christ himself.
You say, and I'd like to know what you mean by it, you say, what this means is that we have a soul prophet, we have a soul priest, we have a soul king. What are you trying to emphasize there?
Yeah, we do not need to look beyond Jesus to another prophet to come. We do not need to look beyond Jesus' sacrifice for another sacrifice. It is complete. It's done. We do not need to look for another king. We do have the king. And so, really, the buck stops with Jesus. Everything that we look from the Old Testament, it culminates in Jesus. And we have, like I said, that quintessential prophet, priest, and king, which means it's complete. It's done. We do not have to look for another. And so, we do not need to have more words of God given to us as far as, in other words, meaning like different, messages coming after what Jesus said. Everything is culminated in Jesus. We have everything we need in his word for us. We do not need to have more sacrifices of sin done in other means. We have the ultimate sacrifice of sin in Jesus. And we do not need to search for another king because we have the sole king that we need. And so what this actually does is it keeps us from, what would you say, religious hide-and-go-seek games where we're seeking out something more, something above and beyond. No, we have everything. It's been given to us in Christ. We do not need another prophet. We do not need another king or priest. We have the prophet, priest, and king who is for us.
Pastor Matt Richard is our guest. He'll be with us for just a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about the threefold office of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota. He has authored an article for the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled Jesus Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015. Stanza 3 of the hymn, The Infant Priest Was Wholly Born. We're talking about the threefold office of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Pastor Matt Richard is our guest for the next few minutes of Issues, Etc. You know, if you actually open the book of Psalms and look at it, how often these three offices are in evidence in the words of the psalmist. These three offices of prophet, priest, and king ring through all of the Psalter. Now, Psalter is just a fancy word for the Old Testament Psalms, and in the new Concordia Psalter, they have put together a classic Christian Psalter. It's the Psalms. They're pointed for either easy reading, study, or even singing and chanting for devotional use, and these Psalms are associated and accompanied by other devotional material. It's a classic Christian Psalter, and it's brand new from Concordia Publishing House, called the Concordia Psalter. You can find out more about it at our website. It is the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Concordia Psalter, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Richard, I noticed before the break that when you were talking about we have a prophet, we have a priest, we have a king, it was present tense stuff. Why is that so important, that this not just be a matter of what Jesus did, but what Jesus continues to do for us sinners and for his church as prophet, priest, and king?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I mean, first and foremost, our Christ, our Lord, is risen. You know, we think of the words of the Gospels that he is not there. He is not among the dead. He is not in the tomb. And so he lives victorious today. And as he lives victorious today, we also recall that when he was resurrected, we could see the disciples could see the nailed, scarred hands. His wounds are present, and those wounds are ever present, declaring to us that our priest is complete. The sacrifice of our priest, of himself, is the complete and total sacrifice for all of our sins, and it echoes throughout eternity. And so today, you know, yesterday I had the perfect priest, the quintessential priest, who shed his blood for me, and that benefits of that are for me today as well. And so our sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, lives indeed, lives every single day, and declares to us and gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins daily and weekly. And as far as being a prophet, the message of the word continues to come to us anew and fresh every single day as we open the scriptures, as we listen to his word spoken to us, as it is spoken to us in different hymns and songs of praise. And so that word continually comes to us, that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord for us. And he is also, as we would say, at the right hand of the Father, which is a position of power and authority, ruling over everything. And we know the good news that at the very end, the trumpets will sound, the dead in Christ will raise, and Christ will come back to rule the living and the dead and to make things right. And so it is definitely a present reality for us that our Savior is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king who executes those offices to us right here and right now continually. And that's just such a great comfort, knowing that He is there for us and that we just simply walk and rest by faith in what He has done and continues to do for us.
You mentioned this earlier in passing, but it's often around these three offices that Christians will sadly rob themselves of the comfort that is in Christ's fulfillment of these offices by misunderstanding any or one of them. When it comes to the prophet, you mentioned before that Christians often vainly search for a new word, a new idea, something new by way of revelation. Why is having Christ as ongoing prophet better than looking for something new from God?
Well, because anything that we try to find extra biblical word or something outside of God's spoken word for us is usually going to be a word of the old Adam. It's going to be some deceptive word that's going to lead us away from Christ, whereas we know Christ's word leads us to Himself. And so when He speaks in the New Testament scriptures, His word and His message point us to Him. As we read the Old Testament word of the prophets, they point us towards Him. And so all roads lead to Jesus. It all funnels us to Jesus. And so if we look for any words after Christ, you know, whether it's, you know, coming from television or the next spiritual guru who is out and about trying to sell his new book, those messages, generally speaking, are not going to be leading us to Jesus. They're not going to be pointing us backwards to His shed blood for us. And that just takes us down to navel gazing. It takes us into mysticism. It takes us into works righteousness. You know, I mean, we can pick our flavor of heresy, it'll take us away from Jesus. Whereas in Christ, and His shed blood and His work for us and His word, everything's complete. It's done. We don't have to search. This word comes to us, which means assurance. And so, this prophet who, the prophets who spoke of Jesus, point us to Christ, and then the prophet, the ultimate prophet, Jesus, speaks of Himself and what He has done for us. And so, no more searching, no more seeking, no more climbing, no more navel gazing. It's all done in Christ.
The misunderstanding of priest, sadly, many Christians think that it's still about giving something to God. With only about a minute here, how would you respond with Christ as the ultimate gift that God has given?
Yeah, that's the shed blood for us. And so, you know, he shed His blood. That blood was shed for us as a gift. And so oftentimes, you know, we try to, you know, re-sacrifice Christ or re-sacrifice our different offerings and present them before the Lord in order to try to gain kudos and approval and so forth, whereas the one sacrifice was done in Jesus. It was complete. It was done. And everything else in compared to that is not even a close second. It fails in contrast to what Jesus has done. And so I would say no more huffing, no more puffing, no more any of that. It's done in Christ and His sacrifice. His blood is enough. And as Rod Rosenblatt would famously say, it's His blood is even enough to forgive Christians as sinners. So that's wonderful stuff.
Then finally, with about 30 seconds, so often Christians think of Christ as king in that sense that He's the boss, but I suspect there's more comfort in the truth about Christ as king. What is it with about 30 seconds?
Yeah, I think right away, you know, when I think of Christ as king, I think towards the end time. Things right now may look dim and may look chaotic in this world with all the different reports on the news. But the wonderful news of Christ as king is that we know that He will come back to judge the living and the dead, that everything is in His hands, and that we have a king who will make things right for us. And so as I think of it from that perspective, you know, in the grand scheme of things, looking off into the distant future, knowing not only present He's in control, but in the very end, everything will be taken care of, and that He is my Lord and my Savior, that He is our Lord and Savior, and that everything is good in Him.
Pastor Matt Richard is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Gwinner, North Dakota. He's author of an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled Jesus Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King. Matt, it's always a pleasure, and keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
When we come back, we're going to spend a few minutes with Travis Weber, director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council, talking with him about a story in the news, the firing of the chief of the Atlanta Fire Rescue Department for mentioning in a book that he had written how God views homosexuality. We'll pick up that story with Travis Weber right after this.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.